knowing that your numbers do create emotional feelings, but they're not good or bad. It's what you do with your numbers that's good and bad. And we have to direct our numbers and be the person that's telling our numbers and our money what to do.
Hi, I'm Melanie Barr. Welcome to the She Built It Experience with Melanie. You're here because you want to experience the life and business that you crave. Join me as I talk to women who have successfully built it, a career and business that they love. We dive into the topic of how they built it and talk about everything from having the courage to make career leaps to the details of how to lead effectively, create successful teams, implement strategies for growth, and infuse tech innovation. Magic happens when we focus on the part of ourselves and our business that brings us joy. So let's dive in. Lorianne Kuntz is a bookkeeper and the owner of a virtual bookkeeping company. Her goal is to bridge the gap between traditional accountants and business owners. She's experienced in tax accounting, personal finance, and business accounting. She has the insight and experience to help you uplevel your business while removing the stress and burden of managing your finances. Thank you for joining us, Lorianne. In your marketing for your business, you say, "This is what I was created to do." I love seeing that. Share with us what you do and why you believe you were created to do it.
Yes, I own a bookkeeping and financial consulting company. My parents had businesses growing up. I saw that I really liked the financial side of things. So as I was starting to go through high school, I was really drawn to that. I always enjoyed math. And I saw the importance of understanding your finances in order to grow your business, whether you have a marketing business or a products business, or you have a practice, whatever it is, you need to understand the finances in order to grow. So I saw the importance of our family business and why we needed to understand it. And of course, I was like, oh, great. I'm going to go be an accountant and go be a tax accountant and do tax. Went down that path and found out I hated tax. I did not like tax. So I left my corporate job, left the firm I was working for, and I decided to go back and work for my parents' companies. And I slowly started getting side businesses that were wanting help with understanding the numbers day to day, month to month. How can they grow? What are they actually saying? I started growing on the side a little bit, and then I created my company and started bringing on more team members. And now it's been 2.5 years, and it's been such a fun journey and joy to be able to serve my clients and see them grow their businesses and support their personal lives. Right now, I have 2 clients buying their dream homes, and it's been such a fun thing to do to be able to support them through that process and be able to work through them to grow their business to where they can buy those homes.
And that has to be so gratifying for you. Buying a dream home is so exciting, and it's great that you found a business where you can enjoy the numbers, but you also have the social element with your clients and can use those other sides of your mind that you're looking to expand.
Exactly.
Speaking of fun, you believe in making finances fun and easy for so many business owners and people managing family finances. The finance part for them is not always fun. In your perspective, how would you recommend we look at finances and make them easy and enjoyable?
It all stems, I would say, from our educational system and the way that we grow up in schools. Generation over generation teaches about finances. That's not always the first and foremost thing in households and parents and in our educational systems. And so we have to reframe our mind and rewire things. We have to understand that they might be confusing, might be hard, might be scary, but we need to be able to educate ourselves. And it takes some courage to be able to look and see what is actually happening and knowing that your numbers do create emotional feelings, but they're not good or bad. It's what you do with your numbers that's good and bad. And we have to direct our numbers and be the person that's telling our numbers and our money what to do. So we want to be in control of that. You're not going to get it right away. It might take years of learning and understanding your numbers and finances, whether it's business finances or personal finances, but continue to grow and educate yourself.
You're so right. And going back to education, I've had so many examples of women running law firms. They'll say, I went to school to be an incredible lawyer, but no one taught me the business side and the financial side of running an office once you get to the point of running and owning a law firm. And then parents, when you look at kids, parents are so busy going through the finances that it's not always taught to the next generation coming up as something to think about and be mindful and, to your point, not be afraid of.
And I would say even we look at our elementary school and our high school, and luckily there's more states that are requiring personal finance classes in high school. But I would say, like you were saying, with law firms, you go to be a lawyer, go be whatever you're going to be in college, and they don't have financial classes. And I would even say in accounting programs, they are focused on textbook accounting and textbook tax. Whenever you get to the real world, there's so many different things that's not taught necessarily inside of these programs. So it's a lot of real life experiences and going and seeking out advice and wisdom from people that specialize in areas that you might not be as good at.
You fill the gap between CPAs and business owners and believe we should know our numbers intimately in order to scale and grow. Share with us how you work with your clients.
Yeah, so we provide month-to-month bookkeeping services and also CFO services. What we do is we want to make sure that our clients have a clear understanding and know how to read the reports we are giving them and make sure that they know what the next direction of their business they need to take and base their decisions off of factual numbers. A lot of times people will come to us and they've started their company and it's grown really quickly and they're like, I don't have time to do this, or I've been doing it on the side and I've had maybe a bookkeeper or so, but I really don't understand what's happening. We want to provide that support to them, make it a clear communication. Communication is really big for us. So we'll hop on Zoom calls, on Voxer. We're always talking back and forth. If they have a question, we want to make sure that they understand what this line item is or why their profit's different in each month or every other month. And then, of course, at the end of every month, we give them their profit and loss and balance sheet. And at the end of the year, whenever it gets tax season, that's where a lot of the support comes in, to where they don't really have to do anything. We just hand it over to their tax accountant and their taxes are filed and they don't have to worry about doing a whole entire years of cleanup.
And that sounds nice to every business owner. And you have a team of people working for you. Can you tell us about that? And then also about the courses that you offer?
Yes. So I have bookkeepers and then I have an executive assistant. It has grown over the past 2 years. I love my team. We've all meshed really well together and they will help assist me on different clients' accounts. So each client would get assigned a bookkeeper and then they would do the back end. And then I'm mostly client facing. I have a digital product shop. So I have like personal budget, business budget, and a DIY bookkeeping template. And it's all on Google Sheets. So that's what I currently offer. And then I will be coming out with a course for learning how to manage your own business finances.
And I love that you said you love your team. What do you think are the most important aspects in leadership and growing a team, especially as you're scaling?
Yeah, humility and always being able to learn and know that your team is there to support you and they are helping you in your business. And you are the one that is ultimately responsible for things. Anytime something goes wrong, there's a miscommunication, it comes back to you as a leader and you need to change and adjust and shift. That's one thing that I've learned. There's different things that haven't worked well as we continue to grow our team and we are continually changing and adjusting and I'm changing and growing as a leader, but it would come back down to humility, not being too prideful.
Yeah, I love that you say that because we always have room for growth.
Oh yeah, 100%.
What do you believe is the most important element in growing a sustainable company culture?
Communication. Whether it's communication internally or it's communication with your clients or people you're serving. Without communication, it's going to be very difficult. You're going to come up with a lot of problems and a lot of struggles. And I would say that internally too. You need to have a good communication system, especially whenever you are digital and all online. My whole team, I do have 2 people local to me, but the rest of us are all over the East Coast. We try to have weekly team check-ins. We are always communicating back and forth. Sometimes it might seem like a little bit of over-communicating, but that way nothing gets missed and we are all on the same page.
Yeah, I think we have to over-communicate a bit when we're communicating digitally and things aren't always easily explained in an email.
Yeah.
So I see the over-communication and also staying in communication, because when you're not seeing the person, it can be hard to explain things from a distance.
Yeah. And I would say if we are talking specifically to people that are in the online space and have a team virtually, just being quick to hop on Zoom calls, because like you said, talking through email or Slack, there can be so many misread emotions and communication where it's just so much easier to be face to face. And obviously it's still on a computer, but we can see each other and it helps a lot.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's so fun to build virtual teams.
Yes, I love it.
You are a mom who works from home with two kids under three. I have been there. I joke that my multitasking skills went to an entirely new level when my twins were born. What advice do you have for women who manage a family and a busy lifestyle?
Oh man, I feel like I'm still continuing to learn.
How old are your kids now?
So my daughter, she's 3.5 and my son is 1.
You're in it for sure.
Yeah, we're past the newborn stage, but he's getting into everything. It's a lot.
I'll never forget when I was in the bedroom with my twins and they were just starting to walk and I did all the baby proofing, but I didn't do a baby proofing on a door. And with twins, I might be doing something with one and I don't want the other one to run down the hallway. And I remember thinking, oh no, I need more baby proofing. This is not enough.
Yeah. Twin moms, you guys are amazing.
Oh, thank you. It's busy.
Yeah, you just gotta find what works best for you. Everyone has different schedules. They're constantly changing and adjusting. Also, knowing that getting outside help is not bad. For the longest time, I pushed that aside because I'm like, okay, I can clean my own house. I can do all the things. I don't need to hire a sitter. I can just work during nap times or whenever they're sleeping. And that just leads to burnout.
Yeah, you're exhausted even at the end of the day if you do that.
Yeah, we're in the middle of renovating a farmhouse and living practically at two different houses, continually taking care of yourself and changing things up. If something's not working, it's okay to change it up.
Mm-hmm. We remodeled the house too. And thinking back to those moments, the things that I remember is I should probably have given myself a little bit more grace and also said, it's not going to be the end of the world if this isn't done till tomorrow. I'm going to take care of myself. And then it will get done. Looking back, there were probably things where I could have given a little bit more time to myself when my kids were younger.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm an Enneagram 3, so I'm always like a really high achieving, needing to get everything done and crossed off my list. It's a constant battle for me to just, it's okay. Things are fine. If everything's not done, it's going to be okay.
So are many of our listeners. So I know that a lot of listeners, whether kids or not, can definitely relate. The busier we become, the harder it is to put ourselves first and make sure that we get that self-time, whatever it is that fills us with joy.
It's going to look different in every season. What is your me time? And I haven't been doing it, but for me, I love running. And that's something that I have been pushing aside since Liam's been born. So for like a year and a half now, almost. It's a balance.
I can so relate to that because I was running marathons and half marathons right before the twins were born. And then it was just so hard because someone would get a cold. But I had to learn that it's okay because I was used to those really long, hour-long, two-hour-long workouts. I had to learn it's okay if I do 20 minutes. You can do short 20 minutes throughout the day and different things because I had the mindset of if I don't go for a run, I'm not going to get the workout that I want. But I learned that I could do 20 minutes here and there and still feel so much better.
Yeah, that's really good too, because even just a little bit is good. And I would be the same. I haven't done a marathon, but I've done half marathon. I want to go out and run for an hour and a half. Well, now I couldn't go out and run for an hour and a half if I wanted to. Just little bits here and there.
And sometimes I schedule it into my calendar. I'll put it in for 20 minutes and then in a couple hours, I'll do another 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be, you know, all at one time. That it was hard for me to learn that. As someone that's just used to, oh, if I can't get an hour in, then I'm not going to do it. With younger kids, that was really helpful to say, okay, I got a really good workout in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I should put it on my Google Calendar. I always write it down to do, but I never put it in like a meeting with myself.
If it's in my Google Calendar, I will do it.
Oh, yeah.
It might not happen.
Yeah, I live by that thing.
Magic happens when we focus on the part of ourselves and our business that brings us joy. What is one way that you make sure to find and live your joy each day?
Being outside. Right now, it's kind of cold. And with the renovations, it hasn't really happened as much. But I really do enjoy being outside and getting fresh air and being outside with the kids the most. Seeing them explore and going out to the woods or something is always fun to see them learn about different things.
Yeah. And when we get outside, we feel grounded. There's something that reminds us of life.
Brings us back to what's important.
Please share with us how and where we can find you.
Find me on Instagram at loriannekunz.co or my website, loriannekunz.com.
Thank you for joining us today. I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me at hello@shebuiltit.com, on our She Built It website, or at She Built It on social. Thank you to my editor, Rich Streffolino, who always makes us sound good. Until next time, let nothing stop you from experiencing the life and business that you crave.